listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
Matthew 26, 36 says, "Then Jesus went to his disciples to a place called Gethsemane." I've been there. It's amazing. "And he said, 'Sit here while I go over there and pray.' He took Peter and two sons of Zebedee along with him and began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, is it possible to take this cup from me? Yet not as I will, but your will be done.'" The reason why every single one of Jesus' prayers were ever answered, were always answered, is because he always prayed the will of the Father. Verse 40, "Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. 'Could you men not keep watch for 1 hour?' he asked Peter. 'Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" Someone say, "The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak." "He went away a second time and prayed, 'My Father, it is not possible to take this cup from me unless I drink it. Your will be done.'" Verse 43, "When he came back again, he found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and went away." Wow. I feel the Holy Ghost talking to me right now. "He went away once more and prayed a third time, saying this thing, 'You have returned to the disciples and said, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour has come. The Son of Man is being delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer.'" The title of this message this morning is "A Shift in Prayer." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. We declare that your word is alive. Your word is the highest authority. We submit to your word today. We declare your word's true and every man's a liar. We declare your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. So, Father, we ask, come on, Fresh Start, pray. We ask that you would give us ears to hear what your spirit is saying through your word. You would give us hearts to receive what your word is saying. You would give us minds to understand what you're saying to us today. We declare, speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said amen and amen. The title of this message is "A Shift in Prayer." What was birthed in the spirit cannot be maintained in the flesh. If you're a note taker, please write that down. What was birthed in the spirit cannot be maintained in the flesh. I told you this isn't a revival message, but it really is. Because almost a year ago to next week, a word was birthed in this house. Revival was birthed in this house. And this house will never, ever be the same. I walked in this morning, and this is the first time I've been here on a Sunday morning in a long time. And I walked in, and I felt the impact, Dave and Jess, of a year of revival. I felt a shift in the atmosphere of this church, even for those that don't go to the revival services on a regular basis. But it has spread through the entire body of this house. It was even on the children. I was watching little children worship this morning with everything they had. Now you're going to get some that are laying and playing and jumping and all that stuff. But if you can't handle a mess, if you can't handle the mess of construction, you're never going to build anything. There's a shift that took place last year. And Monday, I flew in on Monday to Phoenix, and I was driving to Prescott to go do a summer camp, the greatest summer camp I've ever been a part of in my entire life. I still feel hungover in the Holy Ghost of what happened over the last 5 days. We had a 3-hour service that felt like 10 minutes. The Spirit of God hit band practice. Band practice turned into a time of intercessory prayer. And then the service never even started. It just ignited in a prophetic explosion. I still feel hungover. I still feel the weight of the glory on me from that. It's heavy. I had a hard time even studying, even I kept going back to prepare for today, and I just had a hard time doing it. It was just such a weight that was on me just from this summer camp. And I'm driving up, and Pastor Paul texts me and says, "Hey, I know you're in town. Is there any way that you're able to do Sunday?" And I said, "I'm supposed to be somewhere on Sunday. Let me get permission." And so I got permission, and the next morning I started on a run, and I started leaning in. That's what I call it, leaning in. Lord, what are you saying for Fresh Start? And I was on a run, and the Lord always speaks to me when I'm running and praying in the Holy Ghost. And I heard him say this so clearly as I was running that morning. He said, "A shift is coming to Fresh Start. A year into revival, a shift is coming." Now, in the natural, it's funny. I was riding a motorcycle this week. I haven't ridden in a long time, but a guy at the camp had a motorcycle. He said, "Hey, you want to take it out?" I said, "Yes." It's Harley. But had the foot pegs. I rode the fast ones, but he had the foot pegs way up here. It was the first time I'd ridden that. I didn't really like that much. And I'm taking off down the road, and I'm in Prescott, and so it's just the mountains, and I'm in a national park area, and it's beautiful. And when you're riding the bikes, you'll hear that engine begin to throttle, and it's peaking, and you can see where the RPMs are going. It's the same as the car. And you're seeing the RPMs. And here's the thing is you can pull back on that throttle as hard as you can. You can leave it full back as long as you want. But until you shift gears, it's not going to another level. Until you shift gears, it's not going, watch, faster. Until you shift gears, you're not going to see the acceleration. Watch, hear this prophetic word this morning. You may hear noise. You may feel the shaking of the engine at work. But until you shift gears, I got a microphone in my hand, so somebody clap. Until you shift gears, you're not going to the next place. Watch. And unless you shift gears, it will take you 10 times longer to get to your destination. But I heard the Lord say, coming up on this 1 year birthday, that there's going to be a shift. Someone say shift. No, someone say shift. Shout it, shift. There's going to be a shift that's coming. What was birthed in prayer, what was birthed in the spirit, cannot be maintained in the flesh. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says there's a time for everything, a season for every activity under the sun. Church, it's so important that we have the gift of discernment and we know the times and the seasons. We cannot remain on our spiritual motorcycle and let the RPMs go forever and not discern when it's time to shift. Watch, when I'm riding the motorcycle, nobody told me, "All right, Landon, now you shift." I didn't have a co-pilot. I haven't ridden in like 5 years. It's fun. I didn't have a co-pilot. Tell me, "All right, now's the time to shift." I just knew, watch, when I wasn't going as fast as I should be going, it's time to shift. See, we make such a great focus out of a few of the spiritual gifts, and then the other ones we just leave off to the side. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing. We love healing. We make a big deal out of healing. Power. We love the power of God. Speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues. And then, at the very end, the caboose, distinguishing between the gifts. But if you cannot distinguish, or that word is discernment, if you don't have discernment of when it's time to shift, you will remain in unhealthy places. You will remain, watch, in yesterday's seasons. You will remain in yesterday's relationships. You will remain in places that you should not be too long. We have to know what season it is. We have to know what hour we are in. Does anybody else feel what's going on in America?
Does anybody else? I love Fresh Start because Fresh Start is a multicultural church. Look down your row, white, black, Mexican, everywhere. Come on, look. You don't see a black row. You don't see a white row. See a bow tie row. Looking good, bro. Do you not feel the shift in America? Do you not feel the evil that's at work in America? I'm not trying to be political today, but when the president of Planned Parenthood is speaking at national conventions, come on, there's evil everywhere. This isn't political, this is spiritual. Where the enemy is looking for every opportunity he can to divide and conquer. Do you understand how, there's a shift coming. Do you understand how rare it is to be in a church like this on a Sunday morning where this is the most racially divided hour of the week? I feel a burden coming on me. And when a burden comes on me, it usually means an assignment's coming to me. But I feel the burden on me, and it's amazing. If you're not obedient with the first assignment, because when you obey God with the first assignment, hear it. When you're faithful with the first year of revival, see, then there could be a shift coming with the second year of revival. See, prayer opens up the heavens that shifts the season. Church, you have to know what hour we are in. We're standing in worship, and I was standing next to JT, and we were worshiping together, and I heard this phrase, revival in riots. I went up to him afterwards. I said, I heard the phrase revival in riots. He shoved me. He's like, you would not believe what you just said. That they were in Ferguson during the riots, ministering, and the Spirit of God was breaking out in the middle of riots. Listen, God is going to give you your next assignment when you understand how to be obedient with the first assignment. Listen, prayer is the key that opens up the heavens and shifts the seasons. If you're a note taker, please write that down. Prayer is the key that shifts the season. Lennon Ravenhill says, no man is greater than his prayer life. He actually says no preacher that doesn't pray at least 2 hours a day is not worth his salt. Listen, you cannot be in a house of revival if you're not in a house of prayer. It can never be a house of revival first. It must be a house of prayer first. Jesus said, my house must be a house of... Come on, someone help me today. See, you pray until you see in the natural what you are believing for in the supernatural. Most people say, I don't see it happening yet, so it must not be there yet. No, you pray until you get to that RPM level, until it's time to shift. Watch, but prayer is what turns it up in this house. You gotta pray until you see something happen. Listen, you pray until something happens. What did Jesus do when he prayed for the blind man? He prayed for him. He said, what do you see? He says, I see people that look like trees. Majority of Christians would stop there and say, enjoy your trees. But even God prayed again. We see him in this text in Matthew. In Gethsemane, praying again, going back and praying again. Listen, Jesus was a man of prayer. I'm gonna say this again. God is a God of prayer. Now, Jesus doesn't even start his ministry until he's 30 years old. And after he starts his ministry, he's still constantly praying. If you were God, do you think you would need to pray? We're not God, and we barely pray. He's constantly praying. I've heard theologians say that Jesus spent two-thirds of his physical ministry just in prayer. Let's look at a few scriptures. Is it okay to use scripture in church? Luke 5:16. Yet he, Jesus, frequently withdrew to the wilderness to pray. He started his ministry with 40 days in fasting. The Bible says that he frequently withdrew. I had all these scriptures listed out for you this week, and this morning when I woke up, I heard the Holy Spirit say, and look what happened. So they don't even have this for the PowerPoint, but in Luke 5:16, it says he frequently withdrew to pray. The very next scripture talks about Jesus healing a paralyzed man. Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning. Someone say very early. Come on, we can't just read the Bible. We have to. Look what it's saying. Very early in the morning. When are you praying? Very early in the morning, when it was still got up, when it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place and prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and they found him. They said, everyone is looking for you. This is in Mark chapter 1. The very next verse, do you know what he did? He heals a man with leprosy. He goes from the prayer closet, he goes from the war room, into signs and wonders. Let's look a little more. Luke 6 verse 12 says, one of the days Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. Are you reading what I'm reading? Jesus is doing an all night, a night watch. Spent all night praying. When have you ever done this? The very next verse, do you know what he did? He called the 12 disciples into ministry. Ooh. Could you imagine if we prayed all night before we made ministerial decisions? Could you imagine if you would have prayed all night before you would have said, I do? Could you imagine if you would have prayed all night before accepting that offer? You know what we do, Lord? Wait, oh, you just wait. I'm gonna guess. Calls 12 in a minute. Can I give you just a few more? Yeah. Matthew 14:23. It says, after he had dismissed them, he went up to a mountainside. That should be Matthew. It says Mark up there, but it should be Matthew. Matt, that's my bad, guys. Matthew 14:23. After he dismissed them, he went to the mountainside by himself. By himself. By himself. Are you with me? See, you think the gap service is your prayer time. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land. But because the wind was against it, verse 25, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. Spends the night in prayer and comes out walking on the water. But watch this. Peter wasn't spending the night in prayer, but even Peter walked on the water after Jesus had been in a time of prayer. Watch, the prayer life will influence and affect everyone around you. Hear me, mama. If your teenager is living like hell, turn it up in your prayer life. Get in that room. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Anoint every wall with oil. Lay hands on every media device. Come on. You got to pray these devils out. Your marriage is rocky. Quit telling everybody about it and pray about it. Peter walks on water over and over and over. Watch, from a time of prayer to walking in the supernatural. Are you with me? I heard the Lord speak to my spirit and say a shift is coming from fresh start through prayer.
Romans 13:11, do this knowing the time that it will already be the hour for the awaken from sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than you have ever believed. The night is almost gone. The day is near. Therefore, let us set aside the deeds of drunkenness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave properly in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness, nor sexual promiscuity and sensuality, nor in strife or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the flesh. A life of no prayer has made provisions for the flesh. See, it's hard to pray, or I should say you don't pray when you're in a life of sin. Sin keeps you from the prayer life. Sin keeps you from the throne room. Because you say, I already sin. What good will it do to spend time in prayer? So the enemy tries to keep you away, just like Adam and Eve in the garden. He tried, they're hiding from God. They're hiding from their prayer life. Because of mistakes you made. Man, maybe every preacher in America should stop saying we don't need to repent anymore because we're covered by grace. And if we could repent, get clean, and now get back into relationship with the Father. Luke 8:40. Look at this. I'm not going to read it. I've read a lot of scripture. I'm just going to tell you. This is the interrupted story of the centurion, or the high official, excuse me, Jairus, the synagogue leader, who asked Jesus to heal his daughter. He was interrupted by the woman with the issue of blood. He said, who touched me? He healed her. There was that scenario. As that was still interaction was going on with the woman with the issue of blood, Jairus' servant came to him and said, don't bother the teacher anymore. You with me? Don't bother the teacher anymore because your daughter is dead. Here's what Jesus said. When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anyone go in. It says, meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. Stop wailing, Jesus said. She is not dead, but asleep. They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her by the hand and said, my child, get up. Watch this. Come on, you can't just read it. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told her to give something to eat. Was she dead or was she asleep? You know, it didn't matter because Jesus' prayers woke up dead things. The Bible says, watch, her spirit returned to her. You ready? This is where it gets good. You ready for this? Her spirit returned to her. Now, I thought that was interesting because in Matthew 26, where we're reading at the beginning about Jesus going in Gethsemane and praying, he makes a statement that really stands out where he says, watch and pray so that you may not fall into temptation. Then he says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And the Bible says that this girl, her spirit returned to her. Help me, Lord. Jesus is in the garden, and he's going to his disciples, and over, he's asking them, why are you asleep? Then specifically, he's asking Peter, why are you asleep? Can you not pray 1 hour? Peter is the rock, is the church. Church, why can't you pray 1 hour? Why is the church sleeping when we are called to be praying? He says, your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. Do you know what Jesus said after he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane?
Remember I told you the Holy Spirit told me to look what happened afterwards? So he's praying three times all night long. And then he actually says, here comes my betrayer. One of the Gospels, Judas is walking up and he says to Judas, hey, do what you came for. Now watch, I don't think he was talking to Judas. Because the Bible says in Luke, prior to this moment happening, that Satan had entered Judas. See, I believe that Jesus was talking to Satan when he said, do what you came for. Watch, when you live a life of prayer, you can say to the enemy, do what you came for, because I'm going to do what I came for. There's a shift that happens in prayer. Watch, it doesn't matter what's going on in America. It doesn't matter what terrorist attacks. It doesn't matter what weapon formed against you. It won't prosper. Because you are walking in a divine relationship with the Lord. Whoever's on the instruments or whoever's doing this, come on up. Listen. He said, do what you came for. Your spirit is willing. Hear this, church. But your flesh is weak. Man, I've gone to this so many times and studied this and looked at it, and I've never seen what I saw today. If your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak, then why not just pray in the spirit? So why is every denomination in the country opposed to the baptism of the Holy Spirit and evidence of speaking in tongues? No one write me dumb Facebook. I know every denomination's not being facetious. How many been to another church besides Fresh Start in the last 5 years? Wave your hands at me. Wave. Okay, almost all of us, okay? How rare is it to pray in the Holy Ghost? From the pulpit, to pray in the Holy Ghost in a service, to pray in the Holy Ghost ever. We can't pray in the Holy Ghost if you're prophetless, you have an interpreter. No, if you're prophesying in tongues, you're going to need an interpreter. Paul said, don't forget bid speaking in tongues. He says, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. If the Spirit is willing, then why not just pray in the spirit? Watch. Why not get your flesh out of the way so that, watch, I feel the Holy Ghost, so that your spirit can shift the season, so that you can be caught up in the spirit, in unity with the Holy Spirit, praying, interceding with the spirit, and let that shift go breakthrough. Come on, somebody start praying in the Holy Ghost all over this place.
Thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or